Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Bowlology Report. Damien Fleming here, joined by a man who I think is talked about as one of the greatest Australian batsmen since Sir Donald Bradman in Test match cricket. He averaged 55, only eight less than Stephen Smith. Hodgie, are you comfortable with that mantle?
Yeah.
Would you go Bradman, Smith, Hodge?
Was this in regards to your poll vote? I thought it was Bradman, Smith, Hodge at current rate.
Well, on averages, it is.
Yeah, it is. It is. And statistics don't lie. So it wasn't my fault that I only got an opportunity to play six tests. But what you're leaving out there, unfortunately, is you're missing 0.9. Like, that 0.9 of a run was a good run, actually.
That could take you past Kumar Sangakkara's test. I know he's Sri Lankan. What about Adam Voges, though? He averaged 61.
Well, he must be the next best then, isn't he?
But his name's not coming up.
No.
Now, I put the poll question out there. We'll have the results later on.
Yeah, I'm looking
on.
Forward to that, actually.
Hey, mate, just with yourself, regarding yourself, though, your little career, you debuted back at the MCG. I think you're about 17, 18, 93, 94. Mm. Do you know where you batted in that game against Queensland?
Number four? No, maybe five, actually.
Incorrect.
Where did I bat?
So, Darren Ramshaw batted four.
Right, okay.
Richard Herman batted five.
Oh,
Dickie.
My God.
Yep. Two of your Melbourne teammates.
Yes.
Are you catching up with
them?
Well,
they quickly realised that they were no good. Ram blocked the life out of them.
And what about Dickie?
Dickie was more of a bowling all-rounder than a batting all-rounder.
He was happy to have a bit of an arm wrestle. He was happy to have a few sledges.
Is that
he was
right?
Five.
So is that in a one-day game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was trying to work out the Sheffield Shield game.
No.
Where I'm sure I batted at five.
So your debut at 18, I reckon.
Yep.
Up against Queensland, who basically have an Australian or an ex-Australian attack.
Yeah.
Where did you bat?
Oh, if you're talking that, I'd say then six.
Yeah, opened.
Oh, I opened it. All right, there you go.
And who did you open with?
It has to be Matty Elliott.
Herbie.
Yep. It has to be Herb.
Dino at number three.
Yep.
Do you know how you were dismissed?
Oh, caught behind off Craig McDermott, maybe.
McDermott played. I'd say you would have faced him. What a great bowler.
Yeah.
Casper.
Okay, Casper, yeah.
Court Love bowled Casper for nine.
Yeah,
of 24 balls.
Yeah, scratchy early. Wasn't my best knock, I must say. But, yeah, those memories, I don't remember that particular game.
What was your first game?
I can't remember it at all, actually.
and you're open. But, yeah, that's not the greatest middle order, particularly in a one-day game. But you say Ram blocked him. Darren Ramshaw, 82 off 89 balls against that attack. He could do that, Ram.
I don't know actually how I got to open the batting because I'm not sure what Stillman was doing.
And it was Les Stillman as coach, yeah, Dino captain.
Yeah, but I always, maybe because I opened the batting for Melbourne in district cricket at
maybe
that time.
White ball cricket.
Because that was the only place I could actually get a bat. But in the pre-season camp, I made all my runs batting at number four against, I think it was yourself, Rifle,
yep,
Hughes, and Dottermate. So it was almost like the A-grade attack versus basically the crap carters, which we were.
No.
The probables versus the possibles.
Possible.
Yeah, which is the first 11 versus the non-first, the second 11. I was in the second 11, and I got 450s on the bounce against the A-grade attack.
So was that when we were up in Darwin?
Darwin it
like
was,
that?
Yep. Darwin, and maybe Baruga as well.
Yeah.
So we went from Baruga to Darwin. And was that who was that little guy from Darwin that smacked us around in the first practice game? Kenny Vowes or Kenny Knowles?
Well, he wasn't a fatty. Yeah, well,
no one knew his name because Les Stillman could not actually say it properly.
So I played under 19 against Kenny, and we talk about T20 cricket, and we talk about trying to unearth more Indigenous players.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Dan Christian and Ash Gardner in the women's game. Kenny Vowes would be a T20 superstar. He hit the ball that hard.
Didn't he smoke us for 100 off about 25 balls? And like they were all out for 220 in the 37th over.
But Kenny Vowes, what did Les keep calling him?
Kenny Knowles. He could never say his name properly, but it wasn't one of Les's strong suits to actually get everyone's names right. There was Kenny Knowles. There was Michael DeVito.
No, DiVinito. He called him Danny.
Danny DeVito. Yep. There was Wayne Holdsworthy.
Ruby.
There was a few others.
Richard Cheekwe.
Richard TP. Yep. Richard TP. Yeah, he was pretty good to coach.
But Kenny Bowers is actually in politics now.
Brilliant. He was one of the most exciting players that I ever saw as a youngster.
Yeah.
And he was...
it's such a shame. Time hurt him.
Yeah.
15 years on, he would be slogging him. I bet you... He played South Australian grade cricket.
Yeah.
And he was just a natural. Hit the ball so hard.
Well, to be able to smack yourself, Merv, Dotty and Flem around was pretty impressive.
Yep. In that game...
Got some skill.
You played... It was... Yeah. Me, Rifle, Dottermaid, Warren, Harvey. Not a bad attack.
Ooh, it's not a bad attack, is it?
Hey, mate, just...
Who else did well in that one-day game anyway? Did we win it or lose it?
Stewie Law got 100. I bowled 4.3 overs, so I think that was a hammy.
Done your side, did you?
I think that was a hammy. Dodders was the best of the bowls, 2 for 40. Warney, none for 60 off 10.
Didn't have a great record in the domestic scene, Warney, actually.
Yeah.
And look, it's fair to say that when you're a performer like that, it's very hard.
He needed the crowds.
He needed the crowds. Absolutely.
What were we getting? 4,500?
Nothing. There's nothing there. Nothing there.
Hey, Hodgie, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You're actively seeking employment.
Yeah.
Your coaching career, it's had some highs, but you're just in a little bit of a plateau at the moment.
Yeah.
Have you seen the latest thing on LinkedIn?
There's a few things out there, but I guess one of the things with coaching is, it's not a simple thing. It's a difficult thing.
Yes.
And I actually took a couple of hits last time when I was coaching in the IPL. It was a difficult place to actually manage.
Yep.
And I felt that I actually needed some time away just to recharge the batteries and work out exactly what was happening in my life. So that was pretty cool. Just about ready to recharge the batteries. So
Timing could not be better because on LinkedIn, headline, Mickey Arthur said he was disappointed and hurt as he was axed as Pakistan coach following an underwhelming, I question underwhelming World Cup. I thought Pakistan were actually unlucky not to make the semi-final.
Yeah.
So the Pakistan coaching gig is available.
Right. Brilliant.
What are your thoughts? First thoughts?
Well, first thoughts is it's an opportunity, I guess, if it's there.
Well, if you're seeking opportunities, it is an opportunity.
I'm not sure whether Halebury have branched out into Lahore or Karachi of yet. They are in China, so maybe they're looking. So my son
goes to Halebury,
so I've got to think about my kids' education.
Well, what's wrong with Rawalpindi?
I don't know. I'm not sure what the schooling education's like over there.
It's pretty good.
I can have a chat to the boss of Halebury and see if he can branch out and put a school in Karachi or Lahore, see if they're based there.
You just email your CV in but buyer beware because I just did a little bit of research on Pakistan coaches and it's fair
What's
to say
What's the history like?
If you get the gig, you're probably not going to get long service leave.
Okay.
You're not going to get long service leave, so make the most of it. I'll go back to 1998, Javed Miandad replaces Haroon Rashid. Later in 99, Miandad resigns over differences with the players. Mushtaq Mohammed takes over. August 1999, Mushtaq's already replaced. September 1999, Wasim Raja appointed coach.
Yep.
2 months later, he's replaced by Richard Pybus.
Yep.
But we'll be hearing more about Rich. So Rich does it for a month and a half. He's replaced by Intercab.
He was pretty good then, was
alum.
He?
Yep. So Intercab has taken over. Right. 6 months later, Meander.
He's back. Right.
But he does it for 18 months. And after he's fired after an ill-tempered tour in New Zealand.
Right.
Guess he's back? Pybus.
Really?
He's back for the England tour.
It's amazing. I didn't know when if you got sacked, you get actually re-employed later on.
So this is August 2001. So Pybus is back. By September 01, he's gone.
So that's seven changes in a year and a half.
Yep. So he lasted a month. Madassa Nazar takes over, okay?
Yep.
12 months later, he's summoned to return home. And guess who's coach?
Java Meander.
Pybus.
Pybus again. Oh, my goodness. God.
Okay. 6 months later, Pybus resigns. Okay. Guess who takes over?
Java Meander.
Yes. But he steps down after a year because internal problems in the home camp.
Okay.
2004, Bob Warmer takes over.
Yep.
So Bob actually lasts 3 years.
Did a good job. Longest stint.
And then obviously tragically passes away during the 2007 World Cup.
Yep.
Jeff Lawson takes over. Henry loved it. He loved his time there, Hen. He lasted 15 months and he was sacked. And quote from a former player, Safraz Nawaz, his sacking will certainly improve Pakistan cricket as he never had the talent to coach a national team. So I guess he's back.
Java Meander's
back. Okay. So he does it for a little while. Waqar Yunus appointed as Pakistan coach in 2010. 2011, he resigns for personal reasons.
Didn't go well.
Dav Watmore. Dav,
okay, yep.
So that ticked off another national team for him. He's replaced by Moin Khan.
Right.
Okay. And then Waqar Yunus takes
over. Wasn't Moin's banned for a bit?
Pardon?
Was Moin banned?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But so now he might be... No, Inzi's chairman of selectors.
Okay.
Okay. I think Jarve had another go.
Right.
Right? And now we've got to Mickey Arthur. So who if you're in, who do you think, or what would be your plan?
Righto.
To get Pakistan cricket back up to, you know, Imran Rinja as Prime Minister.
Yep.
You go, Hodge.
Yep.
Like your work, how do we become world champion? How do we get us playing like Tigers again?
If
like
I sort of had a four-point plan or a five-point plan, I'd start off on the good foot. Right? Yes. And say, Javed. Imran.
Imran.
Yeah, that's not a good start. I was nervous about Java Meander because I'm thinking he's going to take your job in a month's time anyway. I'd say, Imran, listen, I witnessed your successful World Cup in the MCG in 93. How wonderful you were as a leader, sir, and you're doing a wonderful job as Prime Minister.
I like this.
Now, I'm your man, and I'll tell you why. But this is what I need. What I need is... I probably need a 10-year non-negotiable deal, which includes a PSL deal, because none of your 10 years has lasted more than 3 years. So I'm your man for 10.
I want to be the first Pakistan coach to get long service leave.
Yes. Okay. Or make it for 3 weeks, like what Javed's done.
Yeah.
So you only do 3 weeks, they think you're great.
Yep.
And then... someone else comes in, they're rubbish, and then they ring you back up, say, why don't you come back?
Drive it back.
And then you come back, do it for 3 weeks.
Yes.
So if actually I could extend a five-year career just for 3 weeks on the bounce, so 3 weeks there, come back home, 3 weeks, come back home. I think that's a good workable thing.
Yeah, I like it.
The other thing would be is that, if you can't get... they've been playing away from home for 10 years.
Yeah, but so they're playing more cricket at home now.
So I'd say to... Imran, listen, we'd love to bring cricket back to Pakistan. Pakistan need it back home. However, if I'm going to be a part of your organisation, can we please keep it in Dubai?
Yeah.
And the reason why? Tax-free dollars. So he'll know this. He's a businessman.
Here you go, Hodge. You're a smart man, Hodge.
What else? Probably employ Java Meander as an advisor.
Keep him close,
yep. And maybe the other main threat I would think would be Dean Jones because he thinks, you know, he's the Alex Ferguson of the PSL.
Yeah, but he wins Pakistan Super League for Islamabad. He wins.
He wins, yep. Well, he's...
he may already have the job.
He might already have the job. So, If that's the case, then I'll have to knife Dino.
Yeah, you could be a consultant.
I could do that, no problem.
Where's Pybus? Richard, where's he?
Is he in the West Indies? Isn't he controlling the operations or... Anyway, it sounds like he's a tourist, Richard Pybus.
I think we could get
him
in the West Indies.
Not sure what his skills are, but I don't think he's won too much.
So, good presentation.
Yep.
And the threats are... Yep. Jarvid and Dino.
But I've also got one. This is my go-to. Say, Imran, we're going to cancel all tours that have fast bouncy wickets. So we're not touring Australia and we're not touring South Africa.
Nope.
And it's got nothing to do. And we can come up with any sort of thing we want. We can come up with a mental health thing because the players just can't get around fast bouncy wickets. So we don't want to put them in a bad space. So we're only going to go and play on low subcontinent conditions. Yep. And that will raise us to the number one on the table.
Strategic.
See?
And so there, the ultimate goal, you win the first test championship.
Correct.
Because you only play in the conditions that you like playing in.
And as soon as you do that, you've passed, you hand your resignation in, say thanks for your time, Imran. Go get Pybus and Jarvid.
Yeah.
They'll stuff it back up again and give me a call and I'll fix it back up.
Bradley Hodge, I think you might need to get the suit on and get yourself over to Lahore or Karachi, I would have thought.
A very revered patch of English turf, plumb in line with the pavilion door. The test wicket of all test wickets, when at Lord's England plays Australia. When that happens, everything has to be just so.
Hey, what a first Ashes test. I couldn't... Afternoon, I was just counting down the hours for that first ball. When Australia, you know, Australia will end up winning by 251 runs. When they're 8 for 122 on day one,
wow,
they're not winning that test match.
That is an
but
absolute.
We saw Smith, the genius, again.
Yep.
Two hard nut tail enders, Peter Siddle and Nathan Lyon.
Yep.
But the story of the game probably was the re-emergence of Stephen Smith, isn't it?
It was. Look, it was a phenomenal individual performance. I mean, I can't even think about a heroic effort like that. It's just
200 stuff.
You know, it's hard to put the words into it, actually, and just describe how the mental toughness that, you know, he would have had.
The booing?
Yeah, the booing. He would have been thinking about...
They actually got fatigued at booing, the Edgbaston crowd. How good was that?
Well, look, I mean, one of the ways to actually rid yourself of any criticism is just to stay at the middle and show people what your skills you actually possess. And he did that so well. And I'm happy for him and proud of him and proud of the Australian unit that they've been able to achieve this. And I think they've been on the right track for a long time. You know, I think this started actually in India. I think Finchie's leadership was really good.
Yep.
We've seen Tim Payne's leadership was really good. And Justin Langer and his team have enabled Bancroft, Smith and Warner to filter in to this group pretty much seamlessly. And one of them got the results. And, I mean, the other two failed. Yeah, they failed. And maybe it just got too much of them. But Steve Smith, what a champion.
And just with Stephen Smith, 286 runs in the test match. Travis Head, who we'll talk about as well, he was quoted as saying that he enhances the sense of confidence to all the other batsmen that he bats with. And also, I love this quote from Trav, Smith sucks the momentum out of the opposition while he's at the crease. And you sort of got that sense, didn't you, in the second innings. They just felt like, we don't know how to bowl to this guy. We don't know how to get him out.
No, and once you don't know how to get someone out, you're in all sorts of trouble. He's just at another level. I mean, he's actually probably nearly too good for the competition, but he actually can't go anywhere. So we'll see.
He can't represent Earth against the moon.
He'll get better and better. And look, he will walk away from Test cricket averaging 55 plus. That's even if he has a bad couple of seasons. Hopefully he plays for a long period of time and gets his 40 or 50 hundreds, he can certainly do
that. Well, he looks hungry enough, doesn't he? Like, he looks hungry enough.
Yeah, he does.
And he just wants more. And what I like, you just feel like, you know, he and Steve Waugh is part of the coaching panel. Mm. And I think just as much for the players, but for Justin Langer as well. Like, yes. There's no doubt he's helping Alfie there, but he's certainly got a lot of that Stephen Waugh mental disintegration, isn't he? He does not want to get the sniff at all.
And look, I'm not sure what role Tugger had in that, but you would have think that every time Steve Smith walked past Tugger in the dressing room and he's walking back out to take guard again after a lunch break or a tea break, I'm pretty sure Tugger would have been the man to walk past to get that ambition just to keep going and going.
There'd be a nod from each of others.
Absolutely.
Just respect.
Yeah. Look, that's the leadership that's Tugger. Yeah, you played under him. That's what you get.
See, I thought Steve Waugh was really important, particularly in that time that I played, that he still had the hurt of us losing in the mid-80s. You know, he came into a young Australian team. Alan Board is the superstar.
Yeah.
Some very good players there, but we don't have Chappell, Marsh, Lilly. We don't have those the Rebels that went to South Africa. Imagine taking, you know,
half your good players
15
out.
Of your best players out of the competition.
Amazing.
And I reckon, you know, whenever there was a chance, is your attitude contagious? You know, is it worth
Tell
catching?
Me, what was his best skills, Tugger?
Oh, I think his will, his desire.
Yeah. And did he install it into everyone else? Did he give that courage just to keep going? That's the Australian way.
Yeah, I think I was going to talk about it later on, but you talked about Payne's leadership. Now, there was a lot of conjecture in the media about Stephen Smith setting fields, or it looked like he was setting fields at time. Is that undermining Payne? Well, you know, when I first made the Australian team, you know, Ian Healy and Steve Waugh weren't captain or vice captain. It was Border and Mark Taylor.
Yeah.
But they were very much talkative in meetings. They were helping with fields. Yeah. So I think it's more about the spread of leadership. And that's a good thing, isn't it? You don't want a team who's just got one dominant leader.
No.
Mate, you want 11 leaders. But it's nice to at least have four or five players out there that are actually helping the captain.
No doubt. It's a tough job. And look, I don't think, do you know what? It's just ingrained in him. There's nothing wrong. He's not trying to undermine anyone. He's just doing what he knows comes naturally to him. And that's helping out. You know, you could see that when Nathan Lyon was bowling too straight, Smudge was actually just saying, mate, just half a yard outside the off stump. That's what's going to trouble someone.
That's fine, isn't it?
That's 100% fine. That's just giving you, and the bowler can then choose to do it or not do it. You can have a discussion. The more leaders you have out there, we often talk in coaching
about, as long as they're on the same page, and I'm assuming they are.
Yeah, well, you talk about captaining your own space. So you're pretty much the CEO of your own area on a cricket field. There's 11 of you, but you need to control what you're doing, you know, on the field yourself. So Tim Payne's very much in control there. Smithy's just, he's just an engaged human on the field. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure if Tim Payne felt that he was under pressure from it, he'd say, Smudge, look, just for the moment, just I got this under control. That's not a problem at all.
So you talk about the openers missing out, you know, and for someone like Bancroft, you've always got to give them at least four innings, I think, if you're going to pick them in the series. So what about, you know, Head, very solid. Want him to go and make hundreds. Usman, very good in the second innings. And Matthew Wade. That was such a thing. That innings just took any incentive for England to win away because they couldn't get easy wickets. He was scoring run of a ball straight away. So Smithy doesn't have to worry about Wade. It also says to me, a player who knew his game and the situation well.
Well, what the selectors have done is they've sat down and they've picked 11 players which they thought are in top form. And that includes Cameron Bancroft, whether it be getting runs in County's second 11, he's still hitting the ball in the middle of the bat. Big step up, of course, but they've gone through and gone, right, who is in form right now? And that includes Peter Siddle. And he's overtaken Stark and Cummings. That's a big call, big call. So kudos to the selectors in going about it this way. It's a smart approach. And Wade is the byproduct of that success.
Yep.
You know, I mean, well done, Matty Wade. Got to give credit where credit's due. This is the type of thing which actually happened in my era, which was great. Yep. Simon Kadich, Martin Love, Jimmy Maher, Greg Blewett, Darren Lehman, scoring run upon run, forcing your hand, and when you got your opportunity to succeed.
Him.
That is great, Matthew Wade. Travis Head, I'm liking Travis Head's game, and he's building a nice little portfolio in this number 4-5 position. I like it. He did well against India. Yeah, critical, may have got a, should have got a couple of hundreds, but still, just a young learning guy, still developing his leadership on the field. So I like that.
And he scores, Trav.
He scores well.
But we you know, and it's been a really good start. He's averaging 49.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a massive tick.
Usman Khawaja,
I want him to be at least getting up 100 in this Ashes series.
Needs against the this is nowhere near as good as attack as India's attack. So yeah, you need to find a ton somewhere in there. Usman Khawaja, stick with him. Don't get sucked into the thing of moving Steve Smith to number 3 now. Side looks settled. Just remain where you are. People are comfortable.
Usman averages over 40 now.
Yeah.
You know, in 30-odd tests. You know, that's a big body of work. You look where England, they've got Joe Denley. We'll talk about their batting in the middle.
Yeah, shocking.
No. We want Usman at number 3. What about your old mate, Peter Siddle? Bat and ball.
Well, I mean, you would have been probably surprised to see him in the 11 to start with. There was a little bit of talk.
I wasn't. If you'd said me 2 months ago, I'd say there's no way.
Yeah.
But just being over there, I got a vibe.
Mm,
That Siddle was going to
Well, you did
play.
Mention it to me. Yeah, you did mention it to me.
Was going to play. Yeah. A lot of what you said earlier, though, Hodgie, in form. And then also, I think they've reflected on the 2015 Ashes over there.
Yeah.
And the younger boys, you know, Hazelwood and Siddle and Mitchell Johnson is not there. They bowl too short.
Yes.
And when Sid's come in those last two tests and just bowl full.
Yeah.
It's not about pace over there. He bowls no slower than Jimmy Anderson. He doesn't swing as much as Jimmy.
Yeah.
But I think he only got 2 wickets for the test. He looked like he could have got 5 from both innings, Sid's.
Probably
should
have.
And that's on a brown pitch.
Yes, but
what's he going to do on a green pitch?
Well, it doesn't matter whether it's, they might not see a green pitch, but what it does is it allows Tim Payne to be able to control the day if you've got a Peter Siddle, and you know then he can operate his two sort of fiery quicks around. Yeah, you know, he can hold with Peter Siddle. Not saying he's holding; he actually beat the bat that many times and challenged the stumps. It was almost like a Victorian MCG wicket, this one.
Yeah.
And Siddle and Pattinson were the perfect two guys to have on that wicket, which
is funny.
Great.
I mean, and I only played mainly, county games over there. But the pitches look flat. They're not green. You know, what about these green pitches and all that? They're low. And then all of a sudden, one just keeps low and jags in. And you get an LB.
Yeah.
You just go, and then it goes back to being flat again. But I think it rewards accuracy and bowling a slightly fuller length, doesn't
it?
Because if one keeps low or one just nibbles the other way, and that's what Siddle does.
Well, they were talking middle of last year, you know, the importance of Chad Sayers and could he step up in England. You know, that's where playing in Australia was probably pointless or any other test. Just take those guys.
No, a Sayers type over there would be handy.
Dynamite.
But I think Siddle...
Siddle's the man. He's a better bowler than Chad Sayers. Not to take anything away from Chad. Siddle's a first-class performer.
Well, you know
performer.
He gets a test level.
Yeah, and he's been able to bowl 150 back in his good days.
And don't forget about that 44.
44 is amazing. Look, actually, Tail's strong. Good Tail. We know Siddle can bat. Jimmy Paddo's got the big scores in Sheffield Shield finals.
Cummins
got 50 against that India attack last year.
And Lyon's fantastic number 11.
So, yeah, they've got some work to do.
But what they do is, too, they get in behind the line
and they
don't throw away their wickets.
Well, they're not threatened by 130. So that might change when Jofra Archer comes in next game. So the other thing that you've got to give, you've got to... you can't underestimate the loss of Jimmy Anderson for England. 4 overs in that test match is a critical point where if you take one of your best players out of a test match for the whole time, you're not going to win too many
games.
They
are lucky they've got Stokes as the all-rounder. Imagine if that happened to an Australian quick.
Well, you'd be in trouble, wouldn't you? You're gone.
Our backup bowlers.
You can't win the game.
Wadey's bowling 15 overs.
Yeah, he is. You can't win.
And obviously, Paddo and Cummo. The one thing I enjoyed about Paddo again is... you know you're in a contest, isn't he? Like his body language, you're not a massive sledger, but he's into you. And also, he bowls full, Hodgie.
Yeah.
Bowls full, attacks the stumps.
Well, it looked like that was something which the England players looked to do early as well. So
I thought Broad was fantastic.
There's obviously been a lot of work being done into the lengths in which you know you need to bowl in England. And the quicks have seemed to adjust. It's going to be an amazing challenge.
Yeah,
and it's going to see what happens at Lord's too.
And so. I thought Cummins bowled really well. You know, on that last day, I think on that wearing wicket, it does force him to bowl a bit full because he doesn't bowl a lot of balls that hit the stumps in Australia.
No.
But he's fast, hostile, and he's very accurate, actually. He's very accurate, but he used the bouncer beautifully.
You know what he could do? He could do with a year in at Victoria.
Yeah.
That's what it, so we should draft him.
Could we maybe have 10 years in
imagine
Victoria?
Imagine having Cummins... Sulu and Pato running it, and Boland and Tremaine. Yeah, see, Tremaine did actually pretty well in that trial game.
On that wicket.
He would have been fantastic.
Because his bounces are a threat. And Cummo, the bounces, the wickets he got, you know, Burns and Bairstow, it wasn't from rearing deliveries. It was the inconsistent bounce. So I loved he bowled generally full, and they weren't sure whether to duck the bouncer, take it on.
No one likes fast bounces out of them.
Okay, Mo and Ali versus Nathan Lyon. It was a knockout for Gazza, wasn't it?
Oh, it's a no contest. Look, Mo and Ali is a serviceable off-spin bowler. Let's be honest. He's not in anywhere near the category of Nathan Lyon. In fact, he's an all-rounder, Mo and Ali, but he just hasn't contributed against Australia with a bat.
15 with a bat in his last 10 tests.
Not good enough. So if he's averaging 30 and you stretch that lead out to another 50 or 60, yeah, he'll become
more important player.
Yeah,
And he scores quickly. So, and the other thing is, Nathan's the one that's knocking him over for fun.
Oh, for fun. And, yeah, he's generally a pretty good player of spin, Mo and Ali. So he just hasn't got an answer for Nathan Lyon. He's a walking wicket against the GOAT. So trouble there for England.
And the GOAT, 352 wickets. He's three behind the great Sir Dennis Lilly.
Who would have thought? Yeah, who would have thought? I wouldn't pick a... You wouldn't think many off-spinners in the world, apart from Murali, who was different, had a Dusra. To be able to take 352 wickets is a phenomenal performance. And seems to just be getting better and better.
Yeah.
Confidence bowler.
Good in the field.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Handy at number 11. So Gaz is at the top of his game. Okay, there's a Worcester practice game going on. Travis Head got 100. Mm. Usman got runs. You know, Josh Hazlewood's got 2 for 2.
Yep.
Usman said he was hitting the length beautifully. Can you see any changes for Lords?
Yeah, I can. The only thing I can see happening is that James Pattinson might sit it out, whether he can back up a heavy workload.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether...
He'll have 8 days off.
Yeah.
Does that bring Stark into play?
I think if you're gonna sit still out...
Hazlewood bowls a bit like McGrath.
I wouldn't like to face Hazlewood on that wicket, no way.
The way I was reading it was either Siddle or Hazlewood, you know, accurate bouncy bowlers.
Yeah.
Obviously, Josh is quicker. Or Stark or Pattinson, who are wicket takers who bowl full and leak runs. Is that the way you're saying it?
Yes, that's exactly right. I wouldn't say Jimmy actually leaks runs. He's fairly economical.
I think that's a disservice to Pato.
I think that's the only thing is you'll see Jimmy is a real fiery strike bowler and Stark's sort of got that as well if he's in the right frame of mind. So that may be the only swap. I think need to keep an eye on Cameron Bancroft as well. I still would have selected Marcus Harris before this. He's probably got one more test, I think, actually, Cameron Bancroft.
Yep, 4 innings at minimum, I reckon.
Yeah, he needs a step up.
He got bowled again in the tour game.
It didn't look great.
Harris didn't get runs either.
No.
But I, to be honest, for me, I don't know what's happening internally. I'd be happy if they were unchanged.
So would I.
I reckon it just says, we're comfortable with our team. We're 1-0 up. You guys got to win.
Only thing managing Jimmy Pato. That's probably the only question.
Yeah.
We don't know
how he's travelling. Now, what about England? I went with a tweet before the tests that said that England's batting lineup is a phenomenal white ball batting lineup.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about the red ball.
No.
And really, that played out in the test match, didn't it?
Not surprising. I mean, if you think about their selection, they weren't sure what to do with their top three. Joe Root jumps up to number three just because there was no one else good enough to do so. They got some issues, some serious issues.
And also, you know, just explaining the difference. Like, people tend to take white ball into red ball form. But, yeah, you know, with a lot of these hitters, great hitters of the ball, like Roy and co., there's a predictability about white ball cricket, isn't it? You can't bowl down the leg side. No. You can't get too wide. So there's an actual bumper box.
Yeah.
There's a box that you know the ball's going to be. But in red ball cricket, no, that's the beauty, isn't it? There's the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And I just felt like at times you could see with Roy, even with that dismissal before that, he was getting frustrated that he wasn't getting balls into his hitting zone, and that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
You know, Denley's 33 and averages 36. And for all the accolades for Rory Burns, you know, he could have been out a lot of times early. Yeah. And I'm not so sure that that's going to kick him onto a long career, that 100.
Wouldn't have thought so, no. Everyone talked about techniques and different techniques. They were comparing Rory Burns to Steve Smith. Are you kidding me? One is a crab ugly thing. One doesn't miss the centre of the bat. They are completely different. Joe Denley's an interesting one. Batting at four, I'm sure he opened the batting for most of his time for Sussex, I believe he played. Kent, I think he played for. How do you filter into number four?
And he's another wonderful white ball cricketer,
averaging 36 in first class cricket. I mean, come on. If you're going to be a test match player, you're going to have to average 50
and
plus.
And Butler's a white ball superstar, you know, averaging mid 30s, really struggles against spin. First 20 balls.
Yeah.
He's struggling to get through that against.
Well, you've got a bat pad, you've got a leg slip and three men in catching positions, and no easy runs, just a ticket in the mid wicket to
if
get
you
your
come
shot.
Out in the 35th
yeah, long off's not day. Back, he's bunted down the ground. So, look, big problems for those guys. They have to find someone with good defensive technique.
I don't think there's there because they've tried other players. You know, Jennings opened up, and I think he's ended up averaging 20 over about 15 test matches. So, maybe they still want to win this Ashes series. So, well, as I said, you've got to give guys four innings, I reckon. But, you know, if we win this test match, series is over there.
Pigeon
really.
McGrath's.
How do you reckon track. Joe Root's going? Oh, I reckon there's signs, his frustration. And when you think about it, you know, everyone's saying how the Aussies haven't won the Ashes in England for years. Yeah. But, you know, his last Ashes series, they got absolutely flopped.
Pumped, yep.
And he was captain. There was a little bit of like, oh, here we go again.
Mm. Well, look, it's tough. They're in a position to win this game and they've failed to capitalise. And that's probably because their batting wasn't good enough. They're a fast bowler down. You know, they're losing Jimmy Anderson. That you can't control that. That's just bad luck. What'll be interesting to see how he musters his troops, you know, when he's got a fraction more firepower with Jofra Archer next game. That might give him a little bit of a pep up. Spin's
also,
big of an issue.
Also,
I don't think you trust spins. The people ahead of him either.
Yeah.
So as a number three batter, I was lucky enough to have Umberger and Elliott before me. I could sit there for the best. Most times I'd sit there and watch them go about their craft. I reckon as soon as Joe Root puts the pads on, he's thinking, I'm in here pretty soon. So I've got to get my head around. And I'm also trying to win a test match.
And
so
also,
that's not what you want.
At worst, he's got to match Smith.
Yeah.
Hasn't he?
What they should do is ring up Marcus Trescotti, who still averages 50 in first-class cricket, and says, come have a go, mate.
Well, you know who they're talking about is Alistair Cook.
What?
He's averaging 40 this year.
Why not?
And it's not as if it's unheard of in
if he's got the desire,
Ashes cricket to bring back an older player like that.
If he's got the desire and he's in the good headspace, then why not?
And just say, I'm just playing this Ashes series, that's it.
Just keep playing, mate. If you've got the desire, you've had some time off.
You'll have more trust, I think, Joe Root, if Alistair Cook walks out there.
Absolutely. And look, he'll know that his technique is actually good enough to survive. It might not yield the results he may have done in the past, But at least you know you're going to walk out there. You could, mate, you could, Justin Langer could put the pads on for Australia and you think that he's going to get the job done when he walks out there, you know?
I'd like to see that, actually.
Well, he's in the net all the time having a bat, isn't he?
Also, another thing with Joe Root, another dimension is after they beat Ireland, he sort of bagged the Lords pitch a little bit.
Oh, dear.
And now they're going to Lords and I just can't see them winning on brown pitches. And it's very hot over there. You know, so does he go to the disgruntled curator and go, can I have a little bit more grass? And the curator
well, the only
goes,
way they're
well,
going to
you
do
bagged
it,
me last time.
Even though he's retired from four red ball cricket, they were a shit. And you could say, well, mate, come in and...
I'd rather him play.
You can take over from Ali and come in, mate. We need some skill sets that are going to take some wickets when it's dry.
Well, he played tests over there winter, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, so why not? He might be something they have to look at.
I think Moen's, it's almost unplayable now.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
I reckon he doesn't trouble the Australians with bat or ball. And Rashid, yes, there's half trackers, but he legitimately spins the ball, doesn't he?
And bats on well. The flip side of the Aussies, Moen actually hasn't played any cricket for a long while. He's been sitting on the bench watching their World Cup team go about it. So the Aussie side, they've actually picked guys playing cricket in form. These guys have got a few that actually hadn't fired a shot.
I thought Broad bowled beautifully in the first innings.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Broad bowled beautifully. And I think they've managed him well. He hasn't played too much first-class cricket. I think they said all along you're playing.
Yeah.
So there's no doubts there. You know, Wokes is a very handy cricketer.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of similar about their bowling.
Yes.
So Archer coming off 6 for 24 and 100 in a second 11. He could be the spark they need, isn't he?
Well, it looks scary now. It didn't actually look scary at all with, you know, Anderson, even though he's a great bowler. Anderson, Wokes and
now, Stokes is very good,
Broad.
But it's very similar.
Yeah.
He probably swings it more than Wokesy and Broadie, but...
Yep. So now it looks like there's some firepower there. If you looked and had Archer, Broad, Wokes and Stokes, there's no rest there, actually, for the Australian batsmen and the tail, more importantly. So... not sure. England are going to have to take 20 wickets and 20 good wickets to get beat Australia every time because the tail's too good.
I can't wait, Hodgie. One thing I can't wait to is just watching the umpiring in the second test match because, wow.
Where's Pistol? How's he not in this?
Well, Ricky Ponting talked about it. Is it time to get rid of neutral umpires? And I can sort of live with that as long as the third umpire was neutral. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So that gets away, you know, if there's a feeling it's a slight bias, well, you've always got the third umpire to go, well, no, you got a nick on that or whatever.
Yeah.
Because poor Joel Wilson, on debut...
Shocking.
He had the batting version of a pair...
Shocking.
...on test match debut,
there's
didn't he?
There's nothing positive you can say about his performance other than that he's had the opportunity to witness an English test match. That's probably it.
Yeah, and he's umpiring the
third
test match.
And he got a free
match.
Hat.
Yeah. So
now he's got to go. You've got to they've got to step in there and say, sorry, but your performances weren't good enough and go and get your confidence back because I don't think there is any confidence. But the thing is, I want
to
actually...
Well, Aline Dar seemed to lose confidence as well.
Yeah,
it?
Well, if you're questioning your partner as well, it rubs off. It's like batting.
Yeah.
You know, if you see a batting struggle at the other end, you don't get any rhythm yourself and it doesn't flow. Same thing with umpiring.
They probably should have done the Worcester game. You get dropped to the resis.
Correct.
Get going fit. Get going fit,
100%. 100%. That's what they should have done. That's good management there, Flem. But
yeah, I just thought about it.
The thing watch has been poor is that the semi-final for the World Cup was poor.
Yep.
The World Cup was poor. And this is poor. Where are the good umpires? Where are they gone?
No. And we know, well, former 166 Coppin Street, number three for Victorian bat, now general manager of the ICC, Jeff Allardyce.
Yes, he was in the media during this week as well.
I never thought he'd get on the media street.
Nah, he was there.
Joffrey was always someone that just went quietly about his work, but he's coming into prominence because it's his department.
Mm.
And I'd assume... The top umpires, and they'd have all the percentages, they're getting about 95% of them right? The top ones there. Obviously, with this, it would have been close to 30%, wouldn't it?
Woeful.
So why not, you know, we need more test matches. We need to rely on the human element,
yeah,
getting it right at least 90% of the time, don't we?
Well, maybe just they should have just got two English local umpires who have been doing red ball cricket and say,
and you're in nick.
Yeah, you're in good form, same as what the Australian selectors have done.
Now, as we mentioned, our ex-teamer, Jeff Allardyce, he has been on Media Street. His next one is the TV umpires will become the sole adjudicators of front foot no balls in a planned ICC trial. If the trial proves successful, this is a quote from Jeff Allardyce. He's also said the idea is that the third umpire will be presented an image of the front foot landing within a few seconds. He would then communicate to the on-field umpire if it was a no ball is delivered. What do you think?
Well, I don't think it can be done within that time frame. If they can, that's as quick as...
If they do it in a few seconds, we're happy with that, aren't we?
Well, yeah, the Red Bull racing team changed some tyres in 1.8 seconds yesterday. So, on the weekend. Whether the umpire can actually beat that. That'd be a good competition, actually.
No, but if it did, then you wouldn't be reviewing wickets, would you?
Waste the time. If it's a no-ball, just forget it.
It's already done.
Yep, don't waste time.
So I don't mind that.
Not
job.
A bad initiative. I like it. There has to be a better... It has to be better technology to be able to do it instantaneously.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. I don't know whether because the foot lands and is it, can we get some laser type thing?
Yeah, like with the tennis. Yeah, I think correct. The white line, because it gets eroded
with the
bowler's spikes and that they struggle with that. But technology's only going to get better.
How are they going to do it? Are they going to have like a drone sitting above? How are they going to get that technology?
Can we wait for the next podcast?
Yeah,
I'll do some research on that.
Because I'm happy to operate the drone.
Yeah, could you put that in Joffa, your LinkedIn profile?
Yeah,
drone.
I'll ring Joffa and say I can. If you run me out of Dubai, so it's tax-free dollars.
Yeah.
So you employ me there, but I operate worldwide.
Do you have to physically be there, or can you be if you're Skyping from?
Don't know.
And transform.
Maybe
it to
our
Dubai.
Listeners can actually from the UAE can help us.
A lot of the listeners will know a lot more about technology than you and me.
Yeah.
One man that's not back, Dale Steyn, retires from Test match cricket. 439 wickets at an average of 22.95, 26 fifers, 5 tenfers. He's got the best strike rate ever for anyone that's taken over 200 wickets. So he got a wicket every 42 balls.
Yeah.
When the average, I'd say, a good Test bowler would be 55. You're doing well. He got a 42. Well, what about those outswingers? Did you face him much?
I did, yeah. I faced him a couple of times. Not in a Test match or anything like that, but 2020, one-day cricket. A phenomenal bowler. Just
charged in.
Just frighteningly quick. And move the ball. I mean, what a recipe for success.
Yeah, you know, facing him like...
You must love athletes like when you watch fast bowling.
One of my favourites. But also, you know, his outswinger seemed to go that late, which is a big thing anyway, because the batsmen can't adjust their shot. But it almost sometimes looked like it dipped.
Why is that?
So it actually dipped and swung.
Is it because of his ball speed that happens?
I don't know. It's got to be something with ball speed, the actual wrist release.
Yeah.
Also, I'm a big one on how much backspin you get on the ball.
Mm.
So I reckon he comes down. The more you come down on the back of the ball, the more revs you get on the ball. I reckon the ball does go a bit later.
Yeah.
But it did seem to actually, just the batsman, hit a dip and swing.
Unbelievable. I loved his approach to the crease, the run up, the approach, and then that just fast, explosive action.
What about the steely gaze?
Oh, yeah. He's got those crazy eyes, hasn't he? His crazy eyes.
Well done. He was, just one of the greatest.
I mean, look at those names. Wacker, Yunus, Malcolm Marshall, Alan Donald.
For strike rates.
Strike rates. Yeah. And he's tipped all them off. That's a phenomenal performance.
Another man retired. But the funny thing with retirements is once, you know, years ago, you just retire from all cricket.
Yeah.
So you just given, you know, a well done,
yep.
And, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, as they retire from different forms, it just feels a bit like, oh, haven't we already done this? And Bazza McCullum, Brendan's retired from all cricket now, and there's no better way to go out than a packed crowd in the Canadian T20 over there.
Yep.
So, Bazza, I hope they get their 100,000 there. But
Well done, Baz.
Plenty of opportunities for
great
Baz.
Great career. Well, I think there's other opportunities that have come up. I think on board Channel 7, he's on board. I think he's now working with Kolkata Knight Riders. He may be head coach, I think. I'm not sure what the actual role is. Gig at the 100. Who's he working with there?
I don't know.
Anyway, you retire when other opportunities come up. And he's flogged this horse for as long as possible. That'll be a phenomenal. I hope they have a guard of honour for him in the Canadian T20 League. What
a way to go.
Is that league on, is it?
Yeah, it is. Well, it is a little bit, but the news from there was the Toronto Nationals and Montreal Tigers, two teams that you actually didn't play for, refused to take the field over unpaid wages. Sources state that a majority of players across all teams have not been paid any money.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Why? I've been in those sort of situations before.
It's a bit of a concern for these T20 leagues, isn't it?
These leagues are run, sort of, a couple of them are run with, you know, ad hoc approach and, you know, from top down, it's sort of not run in the right manner. So, look, it's not surprising.
Pay the players.
But, yeah, you just got to make a stand. Just go home. But you got to make a choice, I guess, as a professional sportsman, why you're there, what reasons you're playing for. So,
and you get to play with Brendan McCullum in his last game of cricket.
Yeah.
I don't think that's pretty cool. Play anymore after that. Hey, now it's time for the segment, why? The big names.
Yeah.
Kardashians.
Yes.
The Hodges. Well, you're probably not so much yourself. Aren't tweeting or Instagramming as much because they know if there's any hint of self-promotion, plugging products, that you will be all over them. And it is the Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Who are the votes this week?
Well, I'll tell you what happens. I'll tell you what, Flem. It's sort of, it's amazing what happens, trends in social media as well. So we saw throughout the World Cup, England were dominant on social media. My God, they've gone quiet now. People involved in the Canadian T20 League, they're excited. They're on social media now.
Like, who?
I'll show you. But right now, it's all about the Aussies.
Yep.
Ashes victory. They're up and about. So I just want to go through not only our men have dominated, but also I'll start with the female domination. And that starts with Elise Perry, who is the queen of cricket at the moment. And also...
she's not a massive self-promoter, though.
She is now.
Oh, okay.
She's learning. She is now. So here we are, Elise Perry. It was nice chatting with GQ Australia in the latest issue out now. Just a beautiful little portrait there of Elise Perry. And again, Elise Perry. Now, you'll be good at this. You'll respect this. Elise Perry perspective. Do you know what perspective is?
No.
It's her book.
Ah.
She's Perry promoting her book. There you go. Yeah. Elise Perry perspective. What she's done is she's done a mistake. She hasn't done it around Christmas time. You'll know the ins and outs of when to get a book out.
Yeah, interesting time to release it. I would have thought it was a better option around Chrissy, but I'm going to let her go a little bit because if you're releasing a book, you've got to do a little bit of publicity.
But yeah, true.
Let's hope this isn't a consistent
thing. This is the start of something for her. And we talked about the dominance of this week. Steve Smith as well. Not only has he been good with the bat.
Has he got help with his social media posts? Because
not really.
He was going as bad as anyone, I reckon.
Yeah, he's going pretty bad. Take a look at these new hashtag fresh foam ROAV Australia editions from at New Balance Australia. These shall not be taken off my feet all series. Well, not at the moment because you're not getting any rest, Steve Smith. So, yep, hopefully the foams do well for you. Just another
That's
one.
Just blatant and well done.
All smiles, can't wait to walk out and compete in the Ashes for Australia. What I love about this, Steve Smith, is just the bat stuck up there with the New Balance and the koala.com, which he has shared.
Well, I might get this out there. What about his elbow?
Yeah.
He must be double jointed.
Double jointed.
That looks awful.
Yeah, well, he should have been an off spinner, not a leg spinner. I've stumbled across this one, actually, which is, and we've had some dialogue with Iceland cricket. We've got a few followers in Iceland cricket.
No, definitely. We're going to have to do a report over
But there. This is Iceland cricket self-promotion. This is brilliant. There's more to Iceland than cricket. This is I don't know how to say this. Yeah. An Arctic paradise along the gravel track, 2 hours from the nearest town. With the Hovdskål Glacier as the backdrop and warm stream with hot springs for bathing, check out at Next Stop Iceland, our official travel partner. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant, but it's lost me. I mean, why would you go to Iceland if it wasn't for the cricket?
I don't know.
I just think cricket when I think Iceland.
That's what I think as well.
And Bjork.
Yep, and Bjork, yeah. Look, we've got to nail these buggers because I went and helped them out at the at the Richmond Corner Hotel. Yeah. But now they're strutting their stuff around
they're touring
England,
the UK, aren't they?
Touring the UK.
Good on them.
The grey cricketers. Thanks to Manchester at the Dance House and at Budgie Smuggler and Breezy Lad. We loved it. Sorry they ran out of beer, London. Next PS, blah, 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 blah. Just do your job. Get on with it.
Yep.
They know the deal. And I tell you who else has been pretty hot on the social media these days, and it hasn't got some bananas, and that's Peter Siddle. Amazing fighting win to the start of the Ashes series. Great to be back in the baggy green, hashtag Ashes. It's just Pete just knocking over Joe Root. That's a great bit of self-promotion. There's nothing to do with team there. That's all about yourself. Well done, Pete. So I love that. But here we are here again. Great to be back with the boys, hashtag Ashes. So he's realised it's important to be back there. And
he knows we do this. He's just blatantly getting votes.
And someone who's not big on social media cricket-wise but has had a monumental couple of 12 days is Sneaky Steve Waugh, the Tugger. Tugger's been huge.
I might have picked this up, yeah.
The Belfry Golf Club, which... Yeah. We know it's free because if you read on, it's thanks, yeah. Belfry, blah, blah, blah. Day after epic test match victory, wet round at the Belfry with Mitch Stark, Mitch Marsh, blah, throwing blah. It out there, hanging out with the stars. Tugger, there's no need for you to do that.
He hasn't been big. How many followers has he got, Tugger? He hasn't
no really, idea.
He's not like Junior. Junior's tweeting out often during play.
I know, and look at him here, just... Another one, Sneaky Steve Waugh. Another great day for the Baggy Greens. Tour match at the majestic Worcester Cathedral Hotel.
Can you just keep tabs on Tugger? Because I reckon even Normo and that might be starting to feel, Pup might be starting to feel, oh, we've got a competitor in the market.
Well, you know why Pup's quiet? He's not there, is he?
No, you're right. So, IPL time, Pup just comes
he
into
was huge
own.
In the World Cup. He's gone quiet. So
can we get him some studio work?
So Pup will know this. He'll get himself there for the last two Ashes, there's no doubt. He'll get himself on the TV and he'll get active.
But in the meantime, there's an Australian captain just starting to emerge in self-promotion.
Yep.
And I'm expecting big votes here for Tug.
And Gilly's been quiet. I spoke to Gilly yesterday and he admitted that he's been very quiet. Not only
well, he's
his
not
own
over
life,
there. I can't
social
believe,
media.
Fox Sports don't have it. Normally, every Ashes series, they them and Channel 9 have it, don't they?
Well, he did say that he was offered a number of numerous roles, but he was just happy to chill at home
and with the kids.
Watch the Eagles and Dockers. His son Harry, I think it is in year 12.
Year 12,
so it's an important time for Gilly. We know Gilly will get active. But, look, there you go. Shark, again, very quiet. I'm not sure what's happening with the Shark.
Is there
very
any majors
quiet.
Coming up? President's Cup. I'll be watching out for Shark.
Yep.
Hope he comes out.
And also, sorry, I missed an honourable mention too there for KP. I didn't get it in. I didn't take the photograph.
I'll just give him two votes.
But KP had him just sitting there with White, and he just said, I'm not sure what this promotion is for. It's a promotion, but a non-promotion. So I'm not sure what he was actually promoting. It was KP.
Do we have a different section called the Social Media No Promotion Award? Because he's leading it right now. Okay, yeah. Elise, don't become a habit here. Get some perspective. Oh, I'm going to get that book. Want to read it? Four votes. Smithy, six votes. There's not a lot of innovation to his tweets, is it? It's pretty blatant.
No.
Iceland, five votes. No, the reason we go to Iceland is for the cricket. The pitches, you can hit through the line.
Yes.
Great cricketers, five votes. You're on tour, boys.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Sidsy, I'm going four.
Yeah.
Their cricket tweets, yeah, with not too many mentions of his teammates.
Yeah.
Steve Waugh, the golf, the Worcester, I think the more comfortable he feels with social media,
yeah.
I reckon Normo could be in trouble.
In trouble. There's
okay, be just two for your non-promotion.
Yeah. Enter Don Bradman, who got a great ovation.
Okay, I did a poll question. Best batsman, Aussie batsman after Bradman, and we got 2,400 votes.
Amazing.
But
great poll question, Flem, actually. I do like it.
People, people were obviously talking about it. It's a bit like any tall, fast bowler that gets wickets. They're McGrath-like, aren't they?
So yes.
Anyone averages over 50 with the bat, are they the best since Bradman?
Yeah.
In those votes, winning was Stephen Smith with 54% of votes. Ricky Ponting second with 43%. Greg Chappell third with 3%.
Mm.
As someone tweeted to me, I'm trying to find the tweet here, they obviously didn't see Greg Chappell
back. No, I did see that.
He, when I was growing up, he was the best Australian batsman by a mile. And if you watch on YouTube of him now,
yeah.
He looks such a classy player. Such a classy player. But
was the poll the best Australian player?
Yes.
Yeah, it's quite funny.
Because we got Alan Border was mentioned, but you know on Twitter polls, you can only have three names.
Yes.
So I blame Twitter for that. Steve Waugh got some mentions.
Yeah, Steve Waugh got some mentions. What I like is that I had a couple of Indian friends who actually thought that Sachin and Viv Richards should have been in there.
Yeah.
They were good players for Australia.
Yeah, but just read. No, they weren't because they used to score so many runs there. But... But someone else made a valid point.
I think someone said they weren't even born when Chappell was playing.
Actually, someone tweeted 55.9 here.
Oh.
Oh, was that you?
Oh, yeah.
Is that your batting average?
Yeah, it was actually, well, yeah. Tweeted that?
You've got punter and there's a little self-promotion. There's three votes. There you go.
So going on that.
Someone said Dizzy.
I'm not sure. I did see Dizzy. Yeah, it was a wonderful 200. This man, correct. Got cut down to these primes, someone said. You got 200 and got dropped. It's a fair point.
Not far off you, mate.
So if we go on that, you've got it wrong. So I fall out of the top three. It'll have to go Bradman, Voge, Voges, Smith.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know.
There was a man called Sid Barnes, invincible, average 60 as well.
Is he the opener, Sid?
Yep. And someone made a good point there too. I mean, Ricky Ponting was averaging high 50s very late in his career.
Yep.
And his last 18 months, you know, it dropped it down. So, you know, for Smithy, even he could average 50 for the rest of his career, which is unbelievable. And it would drop him, obviously, down to the mid-50s, I would have thought.
So I can give some little advice to Ricky Ponting.
Oh, here we go.
What he should have done is retired at 60,
yeah.
Gone and taken some superannuation and tested his skills at the things like the global T20 leagues in Canada.
Yes.
You know, he should have known that recipe.
Well, is there any better place to finish your cricket career?
No way, because Baz knows. So maybe, they're good close friends, Baz and Punter. They should have finished at the same spot, Canadian
T20. Hey, now,
we've
got a listeners all over the world, and we appreciate all your tweets, and we got one from the Elby Cricket Club. From Sweden, founded all the way back in January 2015, so probably not a historic club.
Right.
But they sent through a video. We've got some audio of it.
This is brilliant.
But unless you're Swedish, you're probably not going to understand this.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
But the scenes is, Elby needed 16 runs of 14 balls with 5 wickets in hand. And after they completed a run, the wicketkeeper shows his frustration by throwing the ball on the ground because he missed the run out. Mm. The striker at the other end comes down to talk to the batsman, and the bowler takes the stumps at his end, and the umpire gives him out.
Yes.
And I think they went on to lose the game.
Yes. Well...
Fair play, sportsmanship.
Well,
umpiring.
Umpiring again because.
Was Joel over there?
I think the laws state that you have to be actually taking a run or actively taking a run, but I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure.
Or is
that's
it a dead
rule.
Ball? You know, is it a dead ball once the wicketkeeper throws the ball into the ground?
I think it's both.
Look,
dead ball, and the batsman wasn't trying to take a run.
All I know is that Albie are devastated. But it's what that is opened up opportunities. So I've put my hand up.
Oh.
I said I'll come and play for you guys next year.
Yeah, we might even do a bowlology just report over there.
I just need a free holiday after it for at least 3 weeks.
Oh, so. You're working. Very good tape tennis ball team.
Albie. Anyway, check Albie that out. Club. That's
I've retweeted it.
It's
out
close to man catting, I reckon. This instance.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought that it's in the spirit of the game. And Sweden's cricket's no better for it, no. Unfortunately.
All right. Well, that's our guide to the Albie Cricket Club. Founded 2015. Very good tape tennis ball team. I think they won some competition over there. Hey, that's it for the Bowlology Report. Geez, I'm pumped for the second test match. Also, Hodgie, we've been...
Give us your predictions before you finish up.
Well, I don't want to go Glenn McGrath all over it, but I'm happy with 5 now.
I reckon they will. I think your fellow fast bowlers spot on.
I think it sets a tone. This first test was demoralising, and my worry, besides some of the structural things in the England team, is Joe Root as captain. Is that is he going to score big? Is he going to be frustrated? Yeah, here we go again. Does he have trust in his team, like you mentioned? I'm not so sure. But can Jofra Archer change the dynamics of this series? That's what I'm looking forward
to. Might be able to. He's going to need to, because I reckon I agree 100% with you. I reckon this is a real hammer blow for this England side. And they've just been punched on the jaw and they're flat out on the canvas. And can they get back up?
It's a knockout. Hey, Hodgie, we've also been asked by some cricket clubs to actually record the podcast and have a bit of a sportsman's night there. Mm. So, we will book those in, and it brings a little bit of a different dimension, have a live crowd. So if you're keen to have us.
Anyone interested in thinking about having, it comes up to cricket season, you often have your pie night and things like that. So,
well, a lot of season openers, or even during the Ashes, like an Ashes.
Yeah. So if you want us to come along and do our podcast at your venue and pump your cricket club up, let us know, get in contact. And we'll see if we can. That'd be pretty cool.
Hodge, next week. Well done, Aussies. Yeah. And get your thing into Imran, your coaching
I'll
CV.
I'll dust it up. We'll do.
All
dust
right. Same mate.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Lord's, deeply rooted in tradition and in the ritual tradition brings, where until the proper time, no man may enter unless he have some special access.
Well, on this occasion, I have some special access. My name's Arla.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.